You are listening to Women's Running Stories, where exceptional women runners share inspirational stories about their running experiences.
My name is Liz Rock. I am from Boston, Massachusetts. I am an avid runner, a cyclist. I love all things endurance sports. From my 9 to 5, I work for a sports brand as a marketing manager. And for my hobbies, I am one of the co-founders of Trailblazers Run Co., which is an all-women's running group here in Boston and beyond, where we like to take a holistic approach of how we serve our women. It's not only about the miles they run, but also, are you good, sis? Are you good mentally, spiritually, physically? You as a human being, are you good? Currently, I am training for the Boston Marathon.
Yes, this episode features Liz Rock, and she is going to get into her journey to the 2024 Boston Marathon and how it involves both her role as a community leader as well as important shifts in her approach to her own health and wellness. This episode is powerful. But before we hear more from Liz, I want to welcome you to Women's Running Stories. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am your host and producer. And this podcast is a proud member of the Evergreen Network of Podcasts. A few items up top here. First, I want to highlight a brand that I love, and that is Wazelle. Wazelle is a by women, for women apparel company that is rooted in running. They make fantastic clothes. I have been running in Wazelle for years. The clothing fits well, it lasts, it looks great, and it's comfortable. Wazelle has a threefold mission, and that is to make great product, to improve the sport, and to build the sisterhood. And they do that in such an authentic way. I love what they do, I love what they make, and I encourage you to go check them out. They are at wazelle.com, and that is OISELLE.com. Also, if you are going to be in the Boston area on marathon weekend, please come join me at the Boston Marathon Expo Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. on the live stage. Once again, I'm going to be joining my friends and the co-hosts of the Run Farther and Faster podcast, Julie and Lisa, to co-host our panel, Making a Statement, Breaking Barriers in Women's Running. We are so excited to feature elite marathoners Kelly Bruno, Elisa Harvey, and Bree Bomer. It's going to be a great conversation. Come get motivated and inspired to run your best Boston Marathon or whatever event you have coming up. Come join us. All right, now on to the episode. Liz Rock is indeed a runner. She first got into the sport to improve her health and wellness, and this marathon build marks a renewed commitment to that journey. And yes, Liz is a leader in the running community on many fronts. She is one of the co-founders of the all-women's running crew Trailblazers, which is especially geared toward BIPOC women. She's also the co-creator of the Bra Run, which is a hugely popular and empowering annual women's event that takes place in Boston. And she is a member of the Boston Running Collaborative, also known as the BRC. And this is an organization developed by the BAA, which is the Boston Athletic Association, the organization that puts on the Boston Marathon. And to quote their mission statement, the BRC is comprised of organizations and individuals committed to building a diverse Boston running community, improving health and wellness, and expanding access to running and walking in Boston with a focus on communities of color. Also central to Liz's running journey for this year's Boston Marathon is the Mile 21 Cheer Zone at the Boston Marathon. And for anyone who is not familiar with Mile 21 or what happened there last year, I'm going to give you a little bit of context. This cheer zone has been a fixture on the Boston Marathon course for several years now, and it is organized by the Pioneers Run Crew and the Trailblazers. Both of these organizations are Boston area run groups that were created by and for BIPOC runners, and they have worked to diversify the running community. The Mile 21 Cheer Zone is distinctive in a couple of ways. They bring the joy and enthusiasm in a big way all day long for runners at a critical point on the Boston Marathon course, and they are the largest group of BIPOC race supporters along the course. Also, Mile 21 is situated in the town of Newton, which is primarily white and affluent. And both last year and the year before, the police were called about the cheering at Mile 21. This year, the situation was escalated by the Newton police, who decided to surround the cheer zone front and back. To get some more context about what happened that day, I'm going to link to a story called My Run Club Was Profiled for Cheering While Black. Here's why it only reaffirms our mission. This was an account given by Sydney Baptista to Amelia Benton for Runner's World about what went down on that day and some of how it was dealt with afterwards. Sydney Baptista is the founder of the Pioneers Run Crew, and I want to quote a couple of the things that he said in this story. First up, he said, quote, "We met with the BAA to talk about what happened a few days later on Wednesday. They told us they didn't have any problem with how we were celebrating." He goes on to say, quote, "While I can understand the BAA can't directly call the police out, we believe there was racism at play, and it's frustrating that they wouldn't label this as what it was. We are well aware that people jump onto the course and support runners all the time at road races, including at Boston, and we haven't heard of any other group being policed in the same way our station was." End quote. So, yes, a cheering section at the Boston Marathon, largely comprised of Black people and people of color, many of them leaders in the running community and marathon runners themselves, were surrounded by the police because of the way they were cheering. To be clear here, I agree with Baptista in believing that racism was at play, and I am frustrated that it hasn't been labeled for what it was. Liz Rock was there, and she's going to get into how this figures into her decision to run the 2024 Boston Marathon. So, let's get to it. Let's hear the running story of Liz Rock as she prepares for the Boston Marathon. Here to tell her story is Liz Rock.
So, the last marathon that I ran was in 2018, and that was Chicago Marathon. I have this goal. I think a lot of runners have this goal of, you know, completing the world marathon major. So I've run Boston, I've run New York, I've run London, and I've run Chicago. Boston was my first marathon. And when I ran Boston back in 2017, I was just entering the running scene, like, you know, very new, didn't really have like this strong community behind me when I ran Boston. I mean, I had people who loved me and supported me. I can't say that. But like the community that I've helped foster in the Boston running community, like I didn't have that. So, you know, 2018, that was my last marathon. 2020 happened, life happened, gained like most of my weight back. Running was not my thing. I took up cycling, lost weight, gained weight, like all of just my typical unhealthy relationship with like food happened, like just resurfaced in 2020. So there wasn't a lot of running from like 2021 to 2023. Like I was in a point where I was back to this space where I'm like, wow, like I've gained a lot of weight back. I'm not healthy. I'm like fostering this community with Trailblazers and my sisters and the running community. And like, I see what, like, you know, I'm constantly seeing how, you know, running is bringing joy into people's lives because I'm helping fostering those relationships. But for me, it wasn't a thing. So I was content with like just building the running community here in Boston, and like maybe running is not my thing anymore. And maybe like my thing now is just to like bring this joy into other people's lives. Like I was like content with like, I'm never going to finish the World Majors. I'm never going to run another marathon. And in 2023, I decided again, like, let's take your health seriously and just try to get back to healthy. It's not even about losing weight. It's just about, like, being happy in your body and being able to move the body, your body in a way that you feel comfortable. So you could kind of say that I restarted my weight loss journey all over again. And throughout, until then, so 2023 until now, Boston came around, right? Like, I got the opportunity to be nominated to run Boston. And I guess a little bit of backstory there is Trailblazers, we are part of what it's called the Boston Running Collaborative through the BAA. So since 2020, we've been working really closely with the BAA to help bring more diversity into, like, to help bring more diversity into running in the Boston space. They kind of pulled, the Boston Running Collaborative is made up of different groups, running community groups in the Boston area that is basically doing the work, right? So since 2020, we've been working with the BAA. And part of our work with the BAA, and it's they let you, each group gets to nominate, we'll say, a certain amount of people from their group to run the Boston Marathon. So a little backstory again. In 2023, you know, went through the Boston Marathon and the whole shit with the police at mile 21 and them trying to steal our joy and just everything that came out of the Boston Marathon in 2023, you know, that put a damper, that put a damper in a lot of things for us as far as, like, you know, you have people trying to take away our joy. We know we fostered this really good relationship we fostered this really good relationship with the BAA, we had thought. And then, you know, that happened, you know. And yeah, so it was a lot of having to have really tough conversations with the BAA, having to try to rebuild trust, trying to figure out a lot of things. But when the opportunity came to nominate runners, I was like, this is my chance to, it's a couple of things why I decided to run the Boston Marathon again. Cause I'm a one and done type of girl. I don't have to run a marathon multiple times. Like, I have friends who run the Boston Marathon like 10 times in a row. Like, that, I don't care to do that. So the reason that motivated me to run Boston is honestly because of mile 21. I want to experience the joy that Trailblazers and Pioneers brings to the runners. Like, I've never been able to experience that in Boston because I'm always the one helping organize or putting things together, you know what I mean? So, like, I want to be on the other end of mile 21. And that was really the driving force behind why I'm running the Boston Marathon. And then also I figured I think in my head that I want to complete the World Majors. I have Berlin and Tokyo left. And I figured this is also another way to prove to myself that I still have it in me to run 26.2 miles. So that is why I find myself now training for another Boston Marathon. And this for sure will be my last Boston Marathon. But I do want to experience mile 21 on the other side.
And like Liz said, she knows what mile 21 is all about because she's helped organize it and she's been there. She knows from the cheering side the unique energy that is mile 21 and why that kind of energy is so welcome at that point of the marathon.
So we are at mile 21, which is literally on Heartbreak Hill. So, like, this is where, like, people truly need a boost, right? So we're there for a reason because this is where people are hitting a wall. This is where people really need that motivation and that support. And yeah, I mean, the atmosphere, it's like, I would like to call it like, I don't know, maybe like a family reunion, like barbecue vibes, family reunion, because you have, you know, running groups from all over the world, whether they're in the States or out, coming to Boston, and we're basically hosting this big family reunion at Mile 21. So it's joyful. There's dancing, there's music, there's food. People are celebrating their friends, their family members. You know, parents are coming. Parents of runners are, you know, are coming to Mile 21 to again, to like celebrate running, celebrate each other, celebrate diverse running. Like I could tell you very confidently that from mile 1 to 26.2, our cheer zone is by far the most diverse cheer zone that you will find on that route.
Liz Rock is motivated to experience the community that she's helped build. And she's also motivated by some more personal interests. And her approach makes this marathon training cycle stand out from those she's been through in the past.
This time around, I think it definitely is different because I feel like I'm investing in the resources that I didn't invest in the last four marathons. So I hired a coach. I also am working with a nutritionist, and I try to go to Cairo, like do like the whole body work thing. So I'm trying to like be a little bit smarter than I have my last four marathons. So I hired a coach. Her name is Abeo Powder. She's also one of the co-founders of Trailblazers, and she recently launched her coaching business. And she also, what I love about working with Abeo, not only because she's one of my good friends, she's a co-founder of Trailblazers, is that it's not only about the miles. It's like, she also likes to take a holistic approach. So like, you know, yeah, she puts an amazing plan together. You know, we meet bi-weekly. She's available. If I need to call her during a run and I call, like, she'll pick up. She offers meditation sessions as well. If that, like, part of her package, she offers like meditation sessions as well. She's like the best, like, creative. So she'll also curate couple of playlists for you as well. So like, I just like love how it's like all encompassing, that it's not only about the miles. Cause for me, it's never only about the miles. If it's only about the miles, then I probably wouldn't be running. It's way more than that. And she definitely encompasses that for sure. Something very important for me too, that I'm trying to take seriously, is my relationship with food. So I've ran four marathons. I've never been able to get my fueling down after four marathons. It's still been like this like weird thing for me. And then on top of fueling is, I've run four marathons and I'm someone who ends up binging throughout my training sessions, my last four marathons, because I just never, you know, you start putting in a lot of miles in. Obviously, you need to fuel yourself properly. So you need to up your protein. You may need to up your carbs, etc. For me, it's like when I need to up my eating, that sometimes gets out of hand and I end up binging. So I always end up gaining weight during my marathons because I'm just not properly eating because my relationship with food is very difficult. So this time around, I decided to work with a nutritionist. And she's been so phenomenal. Not only is she helping me with like my fueling during like my long runs and my short runs, but it's like we're also having these hard conversations about my binging and my relationship with food. And we're trying to like peel back the layers there. So that has been super life-changing. Like it's not only about the running and the fueling, but like she's really has helped me outside of that as well. So I feel like it's been a long time coming because, again, like I said, like fueling and figuring out fueling has been amazing because that's something that I've never taken seriously after four marathons. So now having a plan when it comes to fueling and knowing what works for my body is like life-changing. Or it's a game changer. But what's life changing for me is us going to these hard places, like this place where I'm very ashamed about. It's been very hard. So allowing someone to help me, to truly help me, that to me has been very life-changing, because after, you know, I run the Boston Marathon, like, that's someone who I'm still going to work with, and I'm still going to invest in a nutritionist even after the marathon is over, so I could continue to work through those issues with food.
So yes, this training cycle has prompted some big changes for Liz. And something these changes point to, which is something that Liz talks about frequently, is her interest in getting out of her comfort zone, which for her comes with a distinct set of attributes.
I think when you start getting out of your comfort zone, there's this, like, for me anyway, there's like, that's when the voices, kind of, not to sound crazy, but that's when, like, the voices of, like, self-doubt starts to happen, right? That's when the anxiety, like, that, like, tingly feeling of anxiety start to happen for me. That's when, like, my palms start to sweat or my underpits start to sweat. Like, that's how I know that, like, oh, this is, like, becoming uncomfortable for me. It's, like, when that these things start to happen. So whether it be running, like, okay, I know right now I'm confident in running, like, 10 miles, but I have... just thinking of having to run 15 miles, that's very uncomfortable for me, that I start doubting myself. I start questioning if I have what it takes to run 15 miles opposed to the 10 miles that I'm very comfortable running. That's when the imposter syndrome starts to happen, where I give myself anxiety because I'm thinking so much of, like, wow, I'm not fast enough, I'm not good enough, or, like, how dare I, like, lace up and, like, go outside and, like, try to run for a marathon. And I think something that I admire about myself is that even with those noises in my head sometimes, like, I'm still going to do it. Like, the job is still going to get done, because I would rather try and fail and not try at all and fail that way. So, and I guess I could give that trait to, like, my grandmother, because my grandmother was such an incredible woman, and she's someone who inspired me to even, you know, take my health seriously the first time around. So just, like, whenever I think of, like, wanting to give up, I really think of, like, my grandmother, I think of my niece, I think of my mother, I just think of, like, all of these, like, pioneering women in my life who really didn't have the resources that I had. Like, my grandmother, my mother, like, didn't have the resources that they worked really hard for me to have access to a lot of things. And I think it would be a disservice to my ancestors, a disservice to me, if I didn't at least try, whether it be running, whether it be at work, whether it be anything. Like, it would be such a disservice to them if I didn't try.
So Liz is committed to trying, to getting out of her comfort zone.
So when I had my first half marathon on the docket, the first 13 miles that was on my training schedule, I was concerned. I was nervous because, wow, I haven't ran 13 miles in a very, 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 very long time. And I'm a creature of habit. So with work, I tend to travel sometimes. And I was traveling that week for work. And I knew I had work commitments. And then I also know, like, I have this running commitment because I was gifted this bib on behalf of Trailblazers, and I need to take training seriously. No matter if you're traveling or not traveling, right? You have to kind of try to make the time. That was the mindset that I had. And I know I would be on my, I would be doing, like, 12-hour days and starting early. So trying to get in a run and also prove to myself that I can run these 13 miles was very nerve-wracking. But with a little bit of determination, I'm not the fastest runner. I'm sexy pace all the way. So, you know, even, like, if I were to wake up early in the morning, I would have to wake up super early in the morning so I could be at work, do my work thing starting by, like, 7:30 a.m., you know? So So like I woke up like at 3 o'clock in the morning so I could start running at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? And to get this done, to prove to myself that I could get this done, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it was a hard run, but I got it done. It was early morning run. But again, there's like a balance, I feel like, that I need to learn and give myself grace that like, it looked like that this time around where, yes, you were able to wake up super early, start running super early, get in 13 miles, and then go back to your hotel room, take a shower, and then clock into work by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Is it always going to look that way? No. And it's okay. You know what I mean? I think I have to, sometimes I like carry those, like that thought of like, it always has to look perfect of like, if I'm like not in a routine, I have to figure out a way to like get in these miles or get this done. And in real life, it doesn't always happen that way. You know what I mean? So to that, to the other end of the spectrum of, you know, I went away for work and I got my miles in and I woke up super early and I conquered this thing. On the other end, 2 weeks later, I traveled again for work. I was in Orlando and the long run didn't, I went out. I didn't wake up as early as I wanted to wake up. I had, I think 11 miles on the docket, maybe if I remember correctly, I only ran 3 of them. And I was like, absolutely not. This is not happening today. And I went back to my hotel room and called it a day. So yeah, balance. And then there was another run too, where I was in New York and I had to run like 15 miles. I only got 11 miles in and it was like the coldest day. I mean, I'm still traumatized by that day because I just remember never being able to warm up. And I got to like mile 10 and I FaceTimed my coach and I was just sobbing. I was crying. I'm like, I can't do this. It's cold. I can't warm up. Like I'm a failure. Like I feel guilty because I think I'm going to tap out. And just like her, you know, her encouraging words of like, this is not a normal day. Like it's like negative whatever outside or like 6 degrees outside. This is not a normal day. Like this has nothing to do with your performance. This is just not normal. And she was saying that like, you know, always tells me like, you know, one bad run isn't going to, you know, mess up all the training that you've put in. So it's just that reassurance from my coach that always makes me feel better. Cause she's reassuring me. She's not like making me feel bad about tapping out or, you know, not being able to do something. It's like, okay, let's pivot. Let's figure this out and let's do what's good for your mental and your body as well. So I always appreciate those conversations with her. And even though there's bad runs, good runs, runs that are supposed to be longer, but they're shorter and et cetera, training is going as expected. I feel like that's training, right? Like when you look at a training plan, yes, it's the blueprint, but things changes, life happens, and you have to be able to pivot. And I think going into, like, now that I've ran 4 marathons and going into this marathon, those things are to be expected, even though sometimes, like, we don't remember that those things are to be expected, that, wow, life is going to still life, even though you have to run. Like things are going to pop up. You may not feel good. We're women. You might be running on your period. Like, you know, like those things are still like life is still going to happen and you're going to have to pivot when you're training for a marathon. And what's been reassuring to me when it comes to training for a marathon is the relationships that you build with people, which is interesting to say because I use running with Trailblazers as a way to build relationships. But I think I've been so far removed. It's one thing to like be the person who's like all about the logistics and like the planning and et cetera. But to like, I feel like it's been such a lovely, reassuring surprise for me. Cause like, it's like you take a step back and like you put yourself back in, into the community and not the person who's like building the community, if that makes sense. So it's just been very reassuring and a lovely surprise of like, just like the relationships that are being, that I'm making with people. Like, I'm on the receiving end and I haven't been on the receiving end for a very, very long time. And it feels really good. I just feel fully in the community. And when I think about like wanting to like give up or like say like, I don't want to do this anymore, like it's really the community that's driving me. It's like, it's not about, like I've already ran 26 miles. So like I've collected medals and it's, to me, it's truly like the community that's driving me. Like what's driving me is mile 21. What's driving me is seeing the faces of our runners from all over the country at mile 21. Like that is what's fueling me more than anything is community. And I guess I guess a part of me thinks this is like a form of like a little form of protest for me of like, I want to take that narrative back from what happened last year. And this is for me and me only, like this is, you know, it, I want to take that narrative back. Like I want to, like you have, again, like it's family reunion vibes at mile 21 and it's all love. And that was taken away from us last year. That was taken away from me. And it was really traumatizing. And it was traumatizing for a very long time because, you know, we had to keep on revisiting these conversations with, whether it was with the media or with the BAA or with the police or with lawyers, like we were just having conversations over and over and over. So it's like we were reliving this thing that we didn't want to have to go through.
Yeah. So Liz is running to take back the narrative as a member of the very community that she's been so integral in building.
The reason why, like, I guess I put myself out there, or like Trailblazers is a thing and the bra run is a thing, like I'm a true like girl's girl, and I like, my passion is women. I'm just passionate about women, and I'm passionate about us being safe and having spaces that are safe, that we could show up as authentically as ourselves. And like, that's why I may do like an Instagram video. That's why that's why Trailblazers is a thing, and all of our activations are like, we're very intentional about how we like who we partner with, who we collaborate with, like why we partner up with like psychotherapists in the community to offer like workshops on like self-love and dealing with grief and imposter syndrome and pelvic floor and self-defense and all that, is because like, I just want women to feel seen, to feel heard, and to be safe. And yeah, that's why Trailblazers is a thing. And you know, I always say that like all the amazing things that happened to me in my life, like 90% of it is because of women in my life who I know or may not know personally, know who've like mentioned my names in rooms or who given me opportunities. And like, it's all been because of women. Like, it's just been because of women. I think we are so powerful, and I wish we knew that more. I wish I knew that more too about myself too sometimes, of like, wow, we are fucking powerful and we need to lead with that more often than not.
Well, isn't that the truth? We women are powerful and we should lead with that more often than not. I reflect that back to Liz, and I thank you, Liz, for all of the work you're doing for the running community and for women. And I wish Liz all the best at the Boston Marathon and whatever comes next. And that does bring us to the end of Liz Rock's running story on the podcast. I want to thank Liz so much for coming on the podcast and sharing her story. Thank you, Liz. You can keep up with Liz Rock as well as the Trailblazers. And of course, I will provide links to how you can do that in the show notes. Also look to the show notes for the Runner's World story told by Sydney Baptista to Amelia Benton. And speaking of Amelia Benton, she is going to be on the podcast soon, and she is going to be talking about her journey to the 2023 Boston Marathon and all about her experiences there. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you do not miss Amelia's story. And we've got a lot of other great stories coming up, so you will not want to miss them. Thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate you listening. I love making this podcast, and I know the power of these stories rests in you listening and also in you sharing. I would love it if you would share the podcast and this episode with somebody else who you know would enjoy it too. That is going to do it for me. I am Cherie Louise Turner, the host and producer of Women's Running Stories, and until next Friday, I do wish you healthy, joyful, transformative strides forward. Women's Running. Women's Running Stories.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.